Yeah, well, good morning from home. This is sort of our little living room area, and it's really great to share this space with you. I've so appreciated the amount of encouragement that we've been getting around Philippians 4:6 about not being anxious about anything, but by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, we can present our request to God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds. Last week I referenced Psalm 93, where the writer says, "Oh, the waves have risen up, the waves have risen up, O God." But then he reminds himself, "But mightier still is the Lord God Almighty." And I hope you're finding that encouragement. This week we're going to have the privilege of just sharing a little bit of time with a really good friend of ours. And she may be a face that's familiar to many of you. She's an artist, a teacher, a mum, a wife. She's worked with us for many years within the context of Good Life. And I just value her input. But recently, my friend Lauren found that there was a real reckoning, a real dealing with anxiety. And I've asked her, and she's just willing to come into this space and share pretty openly and honestly. And I just pray that you would hear her heart, take on board some of the things she shares, but also guard what she says, because this is a pretty vulnerable space that she has agreed to come into. So I'm going to use Zoom, probably familiar with it by now, and invite Lauren to come in to this space to share her heart. Well, hello. Isn't Zoom an amazing thing?
Amazing. Here we are in each other's houses.
The beauty of it is, I'm familiar with that space behind you, and you're probably familiar with this space behind me.
Yeah,
It's
it's
pretty
true.
great. Hey, Lauren, I've just given a little bit of an introduction to who you are as an artist, as a teacher, as a mum, as a wife, all those areas that I know you wholeheartedly give yourself to. And I really have also asked people to guard you in this conversation, because I know you're willing to be pretty open and vulnerable with your journey. And so I'm really hoping people will honor you in that space too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
This conversation that is around anxiety, fear, mental health, even in this time, is something that our media is saying mental health is something that we need to take care of, and anxiety is something that we're seeing on an incredible rise in our community. And you actually have openly said that it's something you've dealt with, but when you first encountered it, you said it felt completely foreign to you. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I guess my journey with anxiety has been interesting to me because I have always been a pretty reflective person. I really have spent time kind of thinking about my feelings and kind of processing really openly, often about kind of what I think and feel about things. And as an artist, I'm always kind of exploring. But yeah, a few years ago, I started to experience what I now know is like proper anxiety. Pretty acutely, and yes, I had never experienced anything like that. I had thought that I'd been worried or whatever, and perhaps I had sort of sensed it, but to a point where it was quite hard to function a lot of the time. It was quite sudden, but yeah, really terrifying, the sensation that I kind of had felt for the first time. What I describe it felt like for people who have never actually experienced anxiety, and it would have been helpful beforehand if I had known kind of that life of people, because even trying to work out what was going on with me was really tricky at the time. But I describe it like, you know, when you're going upstairs and you get to the top step and you think there's another one, and your foot slips and you get that like full rush of like adrenaline coursing through your body that then dissipates, or when you like accidentally run into a screen door or a glass door that you didn't know was there and suddenly it's there. I don't know. I'm pretty clumsy, so these kind of things happen to me. But that feeling, that adrenaline dump that happens in your body, for me, and like I know that lots of people experience a whole range of mental health things, but the anxiety thing for me, that's kind of what it felt like, but it would just come on randomly and stick around for ages, not just dissipate because the threat had gone, which is terrifying, really. Yeah.
So when you say that, you know, it was this terrifying, you know, thing that you didn't know what to do with or didn't know how to get rid of, it hung around for a long time. Did that leave you feeling like it was something that you needed to fix?
Oh, for sure. Look, I'm, for those people who don't know me, I'm pretty proactive. I'm a leader. I'm kind of functioning. I like to have things in order and structure, and I like to keep things, you know, in control, I guess. So when this started sort of happening to me and I didn't know what it was terrifying because it was something I couldn't control. But also, yes, I just went into like, okay, something is wrong with my body. I need to fix it. Surely I'm sick. I need blood tests. I need what is going on. But also I was, because it was so out of the realm of what I knew and what I was comfortable with, I just didn't know how to talk or ask for help either. My husband, Shane, who some of you know, is just amazing at listening. But even to share with him kind of what I was feeling was a bit scary because it was like admitting that it was real and that it was happening, but it didn't go away. I was kind of forced to talk about it.
Yeah, but talking about it is hard because, you know, when people start saying, oh, it's dealing with mental health, or I've got anxiety, or I'm facing this, there really does seem to be a stigma attached. And whether that is a stigma that people attach, or is it something that I attach to it? You know, I remember talking with you about it, and you said, dealing with that stigma, you felt like there was even a guilt to it. There was a sense of shame that you, being the high functioning person that you are, able to do stuff, that was a reality to you.
Yeah, I really struggled, and obviously, you know, this is a journey I've been on for a couple of years. So I'm in a place where, yes, I'm committed to being really open and authentic about it. I'm not completely healed of it, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But initially I felt so many things. I had to really process and wrestle what it was like as a person of faith. I felt really guilty, I shouldn't be afraid. I read the Bible and it says, do not be anxious. And so I would will myself not to be anxious and then it would still happen. And I'd think, well, I mustn't have enough faith, or I mustn't be reading this right. But then also just the like cultural stigma around it, which a lot of it is my own prejudices that I had to work through, because there's so many times previously where I'd been like encouraging people to be authentic with their humanity and their struggles and go seek help and see therapists. But then when it was me, I was like, I'm the one that fixes. I'm not supposed to be the one who needs fixing. So I had to process that, and it's humbling, and it was actually so good for me in lots of ways. I'm grateful for that journey in some of those ways. But yeah, the shame around, I guess, you know, the idea that I brought this on myself, or my lifestyle and choices, this is what happens, or as a woman, aren't mums just exhausted and anxious? Isn't that who we are? And all these sort of really terrible cultural stigmas that just sort of sink into our psyche, I guess. I had to sort of process those, but especially I think the one that was probably the biggest was around my faith, and processing those things, because I guess I had previously read that I'd read it wrongly, I think now, but that I should never even I shouldn't be dealing with these issues if I'm a person of faith. Why should I be? God wouldn't, burden me with that. So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting what you say, if I can jump in on that, because...
Jump in.
You know, there are passages like what we find in Peter that says, God's given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, and yet you just said there, and it's really interesting to think about that. And would God burden me with this? Like, is it just this spiritual thing? And I know people do believe that. They believe, gosh, anything that, comes against us, that hinders us, that we wrestle with, is the devil. That makes it this spiritual thing that we have to deal with. How would you respond to that?
Look, I know that lots of people journey this stuff differently. I'll speak from my experience, but yeah. I really feel like God has revealed so much to me in that. And to the point where now I'm actually grateful for the anxiety because of my new revelations and understanding. And I mean, now, like anything that was hidden and that is now in the light and I can talk about it openly, authentically, it's lost a lot of its power. I used to be like, I would only say it to, you and Donna or Shane or the people closest to me, like, I don't think I can do that. I'm quite anxious. But everybody else would have no idea. Whereas now I'm like, oh, yeah, my friend anxiety is coming along with me today. We have a little laugh about it. We just keep going because I do not let it stop me at this point. But, sorry, what was the question? Well,
I actually love your courage in what you're saying there because, the question was just that whole idea of, is this just a spiritual thing? But you actually have embraced the idea that anxiety makes me aware of, my need for God, but it's a reality in the wholeness of the person that I am. It's maybe not just a spiritual issue.
Right. It is. Yes. Yeah. So I really read those scriptures differently now. I think especially that one from Peter, because I do believe God has given us everything we need for a whole life in Christ, which should be of liberty and freedom and love and joy and hope.
Yep.
And I hope that people at home, even in this crisis that we're in right now, this awful pandemic, can say that. God has given us in our homes, in our lives, in us, everything that we need. And so when I read that now in the context of the journey that I've been on, it's not just the spiritual. I think of it a little bit more holistically, that God has given us science and medicine and incredible access to information. And especially in the age that we live in now, there's great resources.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm really careful about that. Shane and I... like when I first started feeling these things, we really prayed. Like I said, it was when I finally admitted that maybe I was having a little bit of an issue. He was like, you think? He's so gentle and patient and waits for me. But he's like, yeah, I think you might need to see a psychologist. And I'm like, really? That was terrifying in itself. But that God has given us wisdom to access the information, and we do pray about it. But we sat down and we really sought God, and we really felt like this is something that we need to approach, not just in one realm, but using everything that God has given us. So we really, we prayed with you and Donna, as our spiritual friends, and we really sought God and prayed, and we still do pray all the time, and that meditative prayer and seeking God really helps. But I also looked at my physical life, and I wasn't healthy. I wasn't using the resources that God had given me to be wise with what I ate and what I did in my day and how much I was giving out. And emotionally and also medically and scientifically. So we really did seek wisdom
from
all of those areas. And I didn't just go to the first psychologist or doctor and just be like, put all my hope and faith in what they said either. We really did look at it holistically. And so now when I look at scriptures like that, I really take into account the things that God has given us holistically. Yeah.
So that everything that we need for life and godliness really does create this holistic thing. Yeah. So what would be some of the things that you've learned that you could hand on and say, hey, look, in this season, in this time, here's some things that you could apply?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think, firstly, I think it's really is good to talk about it. And like I said, like mold or fungus that grows in the dark, it really festered for me when I couldn't share openly about it. And I understand the things that hinder people, especially people who are working or whatever, you're scared that people won't trust you or whatever. But I think the more people that are able to function and share whatever their vulnerable humanity and mental health things are, the better it is for all of us. But yeah, I have a whole lot of things practically that I do regularly now that, and I guess, you know, people who maybe don't know me well but have observed me would maybe never know that I have been on this journey. Yeah. But the things that I do, I'm really conscious of now. So they're things like, actually the two things that my psychologist sort of told me to do straight away, which I think are really, really practical and helpful, especially in this time at the moment, if people are feeling anxious or worried, is I did exercise. I know people who do know me really well realize that this is a new journey for me. I'm married to a personal trainer, but don't love to exercise. But my beautiful psychologist, she's this amazing Christian lady, but she was like, you know, because we, especially if we're used to being more active and now we're not, and we're sedentary and we're sitting at home a lot, we get this buildup of chemicals in us that needs to be dumped. Otherwise it comes out at the wrong time, which is what happens with anxiety. You just feel scared for no reason, or it's really inflated when it shouldn't be. So doing exercise maybe a couple of times a week, more than you usually would, to a point where you get an adrenaline dump, where you your heart rate gets up enough and you're sweating enough that, so some people that might be walking. For me, it was probably a walk run. I can't run just constantly. I kind of run for a bit and then look at birds, and then I walk for a bit and then I run for a bit. But to a point where you get that adrenaline dump a few times a week, and then every day doing 20 minutes of proper diaphragm breathing. Not 20 minutes. Like I probably do 20 deep breaths every day. And that tells your brain that everything's okay. And that's a scientific chemical thing. It's not just take some deep breaths and you'll feel better. It actually changes what happens in your mind. So those two things were really practical, and I started doing those straight away, and it made a big difference. And in that breathing time, I have a Christian app that reads scripture. So often I would do that, and that would be my prayer and meditation time in the morning. But if I did that every day, at least 20 deep breaths and something that made my heart rate get up, that made a huge difference to my anxiety and my levels.
Yeah.
Other things that I do is I rest properly, and so I give myself time to recover, which I never did before. And I mean, even well, even now, like people keep, you assume that like now we're stuck at home, we might be able to rest more, but all the mums and everybody at home with families, we know that's not necessarily the case. There's now so much to do in the day. So giving yourself, and I know it's really hard in this season for some of us it's not, but to rest, but also after social activity, recovery time. And again, that's something people don't see that I do, but when I was really acutely anxious, I would go in and do work and I could still do my job and be up front and be amazing. But then the next day I would make sure I had a recovery day. And so giving yourself space to do that stuff. I think about things that are good and true and right and holy, and let those things be the things I'm really conscious of my thoughts. And that includes being careful about what I read on the news. And even now I limit how much information I take in about the virus and what's going on in the world and how hard it is for people to a window that I allocate every day. So I don't spend all day scrolling. I want to stay informed and I want to stay helping people and conscious of the struggles of the world, but I don't spend all day in that space.
Yeah, that's a beautifully practical thing, particularly in this season, because those sorts of things can feed it.
Yeah. I do take, at this point in time, I've chosen to take medication that helps my serotonin levels and my body to balance out those chemicals. So that will be for a season. Yeah. And again, that's something else that I know is controversial for some people, but I have found it to be something that is healthy for where I'm at right now and really positive in my life.
Gosh, I really thank you for your vulnerability in that, La. That's that's a courageous openness that you have.
Yeah, I think for me, at the start of this journey, I know that this is something that a lot of people walk through, not just anxiety, but depression and other mental health stuff. And I feel like the more that we can be open and bring it into the light, and not just to, it's a part of my life, but it's not who I am. And And I know that people who know me wouldn't be like, oh, anxious Lauren, Lauren, they wouldn't be like, they don't explain me like that. And I think the more that people see others do, like living like that, it's just a little, anxiety is a little pal that is unwelcome, but comes along with me sometimes. And I'm dealing with that, but I think it's good to see people functioning and healthy and living it out. I move my body every day as well, and I said that before, but I hope that the more we can talk honestly and openly about all of our humanity, and I think this season has been really leveling, like we're sitting in our homes, which are beautiful and we're so grateful for them, but you know, everyone all over the world is just sitting at home in their homes, and I think this time can be, I hope that we continue to look at hope and keep looking forward and looking for the best in these situations. So,
well, Lauren, so grateful, and I just want to, I'm gonna pray just quickly, because vulnerability, even in that, can trigger stuff, and so I just want to pray for you if I can. Father, I just thank you for Lauren. I thank you for her willingness to be so transparent. But Lord, please set up watch over her heart and mind, because I know the enemy loves to come and accuse, comes to unsettle, comes to, you know, drag us back to old spaces. But Lord, I pray that you would use her honesty and transparency to be life-giving and encouraging to this family as we share in this space together. Lord, would you bless her, Shane, the girls, their home. And we just say thank you for your faithfulness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. La, thank you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you guys and for this time. And I just, I pray people are encouraged and that they reach out. And I know that they can contact us through our socials as well at Good Life if they need help. And there's other resources available. So,
yeah, some of those resources right now, if this has touched you or caused you to wonder about some things, some of those are available on our website, goodlife.org.au. The faithful psychologists out of Flourish have put some of those tools there available to us. But we're also going to go into a space. Craig wrote a song some time ago called Known. And just that confidence we have that whatever space we're in, whether we're well, ill, fearful, courageous, strong, whatever it is, he knows us, we're known. So engage this space, and then I'm going to share a few thoughts taken from the story of Jesus and his friends from Matthew chapter 14. God bless you again, Lauren. Thank you.
Bye.
How good is that reminder that we are known, and that when I am afraid, you know, God's always going to be my refuge, my strength. I've been thinking a lot about this this question in this season of fear, worry, anxiety, etc. But I was reading some of the Psalms, and I really would encourage you during this time to find your own space in the Psalms. What I like about them, in light of what Lauren said as well, is there is a transparency and an honesty to them. So I was just going to encourage you in Psalm 56. It's really interesting here. The psalmist here says this: when I am afraid, I'll trust in you. When, not if, not should it ever happen. It's this sense of, you know what, it's going to happen. I'm going to get afraid. It goes on then and says a little bit further.
In God, whose word I praise, I will put my trust. And then I'm not going to fear what mortal man can do or what mortality or this mortal life can do to me. It's sort of this sense of an anchor. And then in Psalm 118, there's really, you know, similar words that are spoken. Again, it just says over and over three times, the Lord's love endures forever. It endures forever. And then in verse 5, he says, in my anguish. Now, that's a really strong word, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord. Like, that's a deep place. And he answered by setting me free. And so I just really have been encouraged with that, but it sort of brought me to this place where I was thinking, you know, I wonder if when you hang out with Jesus, do you ever feel fearful? Or is being with Jesus somehow an antidote to being afraid? And I was reminded, and if you've got a Bible, have a quick look at Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, there's probably one of the biggest miracle moments that the disciples ever witnessed and that people saw, and Jesus feeds 5,000 people. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you want to see a miracle moment. It's not just with one person. It's this incredible multiplication thing that affects the lives of thousands of people in a few moments. And, you know, you'd think that after spending time with Jesus in that moment, there would be this, you know, sense of, man, okay, you know, his power is great. He's got this. And it then says that Jesus sent his disciples to go across the lake. And so they do. They set out. And you read it. You begin in verse 22, and it says, Jesus told his disciples to get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. And he dismissed the crowd, and when he dismissed them, it says he went up on a hillside to pray by himself. And the disciples are crossing, and it says the boat was a considerable distance from land, and it was being buffeted by waves. You know, you can, if you remember last week, I made reference to Psalm 93, where again the psalmist says, oh, the waves have lifted up, O God, the waves have lifted up. But mightier is the Lord, mightier than the mighty breakers is the Lord God Almighty. And so here you have the disciples, considerable way, buffeted by waves, the wind was against them. During the fourth watch of the night, verse 25, Jesus begins to walk to them on the lake. And the disciples see him walking on the lake, and they were terrified, and they're like, it's a ghost, terrified. And Jesus immediately says to them, take courage. It's I, don't be afraid. You know, I try to visualize it, and probably one of the best references I have for what that might have looked like or what that might have felt like is a painting, you know, and I love the visual. It's this painting actually that's here on my wall. It's always in my house. And it was a painting that always reminded my mum of what the Galilee might have been like. I'm going to try and take you a little bit closer to it. But if we have a look at this painting, you can see the artist has really managed to capture, you know, the wild nature of a storm. You got the clouds, the waves, the spray, and then these little boats sort of tucked in there. And I wonder if you're on that boat, what you'd be feeling. You know, I wonder what it would, you know, feel like to be sprayed, wind blown, knowing that there's actually very little that you can do about it. And this is where Jesus' friends were. They're in this situation that's outside of their control. So what happens here? Is Peter, in the midst of all of this, he just says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, then come. So I'll read it. Peter got down from the boat and he walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, and maybe he felt the spray of that water, it says he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." And I love that it says in verse 31, immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. And he says, "Oh, your little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, I think what strikes me in that is Jesus doesn't ever say to Peter, "Why were you afraid?" Ever thought about that? He doesn't question his fear. He questions his doubt. Why didn't you trust in me? And this is the thing. Fear is real. But when we take our eyes off Christ, we look at the circumstances, we look at the situation, it can become so horribly overwhelming. You know, in this whole situation where there's a lot of unknown, and in all honesty, people are scared. You might feel that at times, but it doesn't have to disattach us from the anchor of faith. You know, I'm thrilled as we come into this week that next Friday, Good Friday, we'll share communion together. And I hope you'll be prepared for that. You'll have got the elements at home and we'll share it together. But this reality of our faith is that beyond what we see, beyond what we experience, beyond what we're going through, beyond looking at wind and waves, our assurance is in the work that Jesus did, that no matter what happens, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil. He's prepared a place for us, even if the worst should ever come. He's prepared a place. He said to his disciples, "Man, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you." And so in this life, to reiterate Jesus' words, there's going to be trouble. You might find yourself afraid. But Jesus says, "Take heart. I've overcome the world." And so I hope as we come towards Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, again, you'll be reminded that it's done. The battle's won, that our faith is assured, that we don't need to doubt, don't need to become disattached to that anchor and allow fear to rob us of the reality of that faith. So I hope today's been encouraging for you. As we've participated in this space together, I hope that you have seen the hope, the reality. We don't need to be anxious. And so let me just pray. Father Almighty, thank you for life, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your promise, for the surety we have of faith. That God, you are true. God, you are a safe harbor, a high tower. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be filled with joyful expectation of the fulfillment of our faith. Whatever we see around us that unsettles us, may our will be absolutely deliberate in saying, "I'm not going to let fear rule me. What can mere mortality do to me?" God, thanks for your faithfulness. And thanks that you've prepared a way that we can walk in liberty, in freedom, and in peace. We say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining in again today as we participate in these ever-changing spaces. And I really look forward to next week. God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you again real soon.